We have now come to our shorter catechism lesson. We have arrived at the final question. Please turn to the back of your training hymnal, to page 672, if you'd like to read on. We have arrived at question 107. Excuse me. Once again, I'll read the question. Let the congregation in unison read the answer with me. Question 107 of the shorter catechism states, what doth the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer teaches us? The conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, which is, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Teaches us to take our encouragement in prayer from God alone, and in our prayers to praise Him, ascribing kingdom, power, and glory to Him, and in testimony of our desire and assurance to be heard, we say, Amen. The conclusion, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. He teaches us, by way of thinking, just how our petitions is summarized. Think of it. Our petitions is enforcing what would be understood to be an argument. Not an argument of discourse with the Lord our God, but an argument to provide a reason, or to give a set of aims or actions or the ideas of what we would like to see accomplished. So, by our argument, we can see the summation in the words itself. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, my presentation today is not to discuss if and why this particular clause is to be included in the Lord's Prayer. If you look at earlier manuscripts, this particular verbiage is not there. But what we have in front of us today is a show forth and an understanding. If the words are to be included, what is it teaching us? The very words themselves show a premise of submission, an agreement, and humility. If you recall from the preface of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, it teaches us to draw near to God with holy reverence and confidence. And from the beginning, your mind is framed to submit to His authority as a child to a parent. So then, our petitions come forth, and then our argument is set sway. And note, in the words themselves, the action is being extolled to Him and to Him alone. Of the first petition, hallowed be your name. Of the second, your kingdom come. Of the third, this your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now note here, and particularly of the next three, we see the actions and the verbiage that we will love for Him to provide to us. Give us our daily bread. Forgive our debts and our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And within these petitions, it is a show forth. It's acknowledging that we, and of the six, have inabilities because of sin to honor God Himself rightfully so. The first teaches us that we have an inability and we are not positioned to honor God aright. The second teaches us that all mankind is under the dominion of sin. The third petition teaches us that we are to do our own will on our own will alone and rebel against Him and His word. The fourth petition teaches that we in our very souls itself, though we may have outward blessings and blessings come to us, we curse the use of them and we do not seek to merit in them. Again, we in the fifth petition do not take kindly to those who have crossed us. And of the six, we are led by our own lusts and bathe in them. Now, our confession teaches us and speaks to us about prayer. And in understanding prayer, it's an offering. Think of it. It's an offering to God of what? Not burnt offerings, but a desire. Your desire according to His will to see things come forth. And of this particular prayer, mind you, is everyone alike needed to pray? Yes. Does everyone pray properly? No, they do not pray properly. Why? For we see In Luke 5:32, I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And note, again, Matthew 6:5, 7, and 8, the Messiah warns, if you are like the humanists, and I'll paraphrase here, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. So truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them. Note here, the Messiah is making you warning that your prayers are not just empty words. They're not something to be taken for granted. It's not something that you are to say and then go forth to show yourself to be some sort of righteous person. But again, what did the Messiah say? I have called sinners to repentance. So Ephesians 5 verse 6 tells you of those who think that their prayer are right. The Lord tells you again, they pray with empty words. And because of these things, the wrath of God have come upon them. So I bring you back to my original point, our argument seen in the Lord's Prayer. It is to protect your frame of mind so that you do not think of any worthiness of yourselves or any creature, much less for their own glory. But like a blinder on a horse, you want to have your focus being desired on what's being offered. So, with that being said, you are to take encouragement from prayer and from God alone. Meaning, unlike the papacy, who forces you to go into a claustrophobic wooden box and direct you to say 10 Hail Marys, by which each one is preceded by a full Lord's Prayer and then concluded by a glory to be, that's not the case. Those are empty, vain words. Even to say the Lord's Prayer and not to mean it and have some sort of thought behind it. But think of it. When you go to the Messiah, it is the Spirit that is working within you to yield to His obedience. And as you meditate on His words and the Word of God, you are compelled to come to Him and confess to Him your sins. Daniel 9:4. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, "Alas, O God, great and awesome are you, who keeps His covenants and loving kindness for those who love Him and keep His commandments." Note here again the working of the Lord in David, and note of his prayer as he exclaimed in 1 Chronicles 29:10-13. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and on earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honors come from you. You rule over all, and in your hand is power and might. It lies in your hand to make one great and to strengthen and weaken one. Therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." So note here the workings of the Messiah and the attributes that come. So then, in your prayers and understanding for much, we're asking that He's able and willing to help us. We ask that by faith we are boldened to plead to Him. And alas, we are in our testimony desire to be heard. For why? In the Lord's Prayer, in the first crux, you understood your sinful desires and your propositions. But of the last piece, in each petition, you show what you are praying for. So when you ask the Lord, "Hallowed be thy name," you pray that God, by His grace, enable and incline us to acknowledge Him in high esteem. And the second petition, "Thy kingdom come," we pray that the kingdom of sin and Satan be destroyed. And the third petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we pray that God, by His Spirit, take away all blindness and weakness, and we yield to do His will. And the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," we pray that we have contentment in what He has provided us. And the fifth, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. We pray that God not only forgives us, but will enable us to forgive others and to the satisfaction of Christ as he taught us when he was here. And in the sixth, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray that as God overruled this world and subdued the flesh, restrained Satan, he orders all things and bestows blessing of all means. But he quickens us to be watchful, to be mindful, to meditate on his word, so that when we do fall and we rise and we recover again, we are improved and not to fall once more. Lastly, the answer states, we say amen. So why do we say amen after almost every prayer that we hear? Well, a custom in Judaism was that it was a response to a blessing, often as an affirmation or a confirmation to any declaration. Deuteronomy 27:16-17. Cursed is he who dishonors his father and mother, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary mark, and all the people shall say, amen. But note here, in particularly of this clause, the amen. Note the Messiah gives the Lord's Prayer. So only then can he have the proper signature to confirm it. Listen here. In Revelation 3:14, to the angel of the church of Laodicea writes, the amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation. John Gill makes a proper commentary on why the Christ is called the amen, is because he is the God of truth and truth itself. And it's expressive of his faithfulness, both to God, his Father, and to his people. It is in whom all the promises he is made through, and he is received, yea, and all, amen. You see consistency, firmness. You notice his nature, the persons, his love, fullness of grace, power of the blood, and righteousness. And it's all very appropriately assumed in him. So, when the Messiah tells you of praying, he tells you to go to your Father in secret. Because for those who go to the Father in secret, he will reward you in secret. So it's also with the Lord's Prayer. When we pray this prayer, we are seeking to offer up our desires to the Lord. And be mindful that anytime you use the word amen, you look to seek that Christ gives his confirmation to those exact words you're offering up. So consider, when you do pray, come with the frame of mind, honor the Father, acknowledge him properly, ask and offer up your desires unto him. And then when you have finished, conclude knowing full and well when you stated amen, that you not only have an assurance to be heard, but that Christ is affirming what you have stated.